Over the last couple of weeks, we've been in this sermon series called Living My Best Life, as we've been looking at four qualities that will actually bring us life. And this series was inspired by the social media hashtag Living My Best Life. Perhaps you've seen it or maybe used it. And so we want to look at not those qualities that fade away and those things that really don't fulfill us, but look at four qualities that really will give us the life that God is calling us to live. And so today we want to look at one of these qualities in particular. The quality that for us to live our best life, we must choose to be generously kind. And so I want to look at some scripture from Matthew chapter 20. And this is another parable that Jesus gave, a story that Jesus would tell. And it's a story that really gives us an example of generous kindness, but also what keeps us from acting that way and living that kind of life. So in Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to reach up and grab verse 30 of chapter 19. But it says this, Jesus is speaking. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. And so they went. And he went out again about noon, and at about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. And about 5 afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, why have you been standing here all day and doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. And he said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. Then evening came, and the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. And the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. So when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius, and when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Well, it was my junior year of high school when I met her. And I don't know if she was new to the school, or maybe she was an underclassman who wasn't able to take the same art classes that I was able to take. But she was my nemesis. Have you ever had a nemesis? Well, she was my nemesis. Because throughout my school career, my identity, my carefully crafted and curated identity, was built around being the best artist in the school. And it really began when I was in elementary school. I would draw little Snoopies for my friends. And then in middle school, I got kind of smart and decided I want to monetize this. So I would draw pictures for people for 50 cents or a dollar, because then I could buy ice cream or a Coke at lunch. But then I got into high school and got into those art classes, and I just had this identity that I was the best artist in the school. Until she came along. And I have no idea where she came from. And I don't know if she knew that she was in a competition with me, but she was. And it seemed like everyone was in on it, because those other people in my art class would say, hey, look at her artwork. You know, isn't it great? Do you like how she did this? Do you like how she did that? And I said, no, it's not very good. I don't like it at all. And then even my art teacher seemed to be in on it, where she would say, oh, class, you know, this is a great piece. Look at this. And I would, no, I don't see it at all. And in fact, one summer, we each tried out for this exclusive art camp. And I tried out for it for 2 years, and so we would go to our nearby university, Oh, well, it's University of Oklahoma, Boomer. I mean, I don't know why I didn't want to tell you that. But we would go to Oklahoma University. We would go by, and so the art teachers were there, and they would set up this series of still lifes for us to go in to draw. And we had a certain amount of time that we had to do, and we would go in there and draw. I remember one year one of the art professors was coming by and kind of critiquing all the work, and I had this still life that had a mop on it. And so I'm drawing that, and he says, kind of looks like spaghetti, which I took as a compliment. I mean, I don't know. But then after we auditioned for this, I got my letter in the mail. I didn't make it that year. Try again next year. That's okay. Until I started back my senior year, we were in our art classes, and she had gotten an invitation to that camp. And so she was showing the class her big capstone project, this painting that she did. And our art teacher was saying, hey, she got an invitation to the camp of the Ozarks, and look at everything that she got to do, and look at her capstone project. Isn't this awesome? And I looked at it. I don't think it's very good at all. So have you ever compared yourself to another person? Just go ahead and raise your hand. And you're in church, you can't lie. So go ahead. Have you ever compared yourself to another person? We're all watching, we can see each other. Have you ever compared, you know, kind of success, where you're at in life, the money you make, the way our kids act, what our kids are doing, the cars we drive? I don't see a lot of hands, and so I know I'm not the only one here. Because we all compare ourselves to the people around us. It's just what we do. And sometimes we can tell ourselves this is a beneficial thing. Sometimes we can look at it and say comparison's really, really helping us out. We're seeing where we measure up, but we all compare ourselves. But the reality is this, is that comparison keeps us from generosity and from kindness. And this was the occasion in which Jesus told this parable. Because as many of you may have heard the story of the rich young ruler. But the story is that there was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied to him, well, you know all the commandments. And the young ruler said, well, I've kept them since I'm a boy. What do I need to do? And Jesus says, well, Jesus looks at him and loves him. And that's an important part of the story. Jesus looks at him and loves him and says, here's one thing that you're lacking. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Because Jesus looked into his heart, could see that he was being honest. But one thing that he was lacking is that he loved what he had accomplished in all of his things more than he loved God. And then Jesus says, come and follow me. But the rich ruler went away because he was really sad, because he had many things. And so the disciples are standing there. And they hear all of this. And then, of course, Peter, because Peter's awesome, speaks up and says this. But Master, we have left everything to follow you. So what about us? Because looking at this rich young ruler who wasn't able to sell everything and follow you and went away sad. Well, we've left everything. We've given it all up. And we're following you. How about us? What will we receive? So Jesus tells this parable. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a vineyard owner. Now, I have to tell you this story, and I want to give this little disclaimer that this cannot be used as a, you know, standard operating procedure in our businesses, okay? So if your boss is here, if you're a boss, I don't think you should go and implement this just yet, because this is really a story about our hearts, and that's why Jesus tells this story. But he says there's this vineyard owner who went out to hire her day workers. There was time for a harvest. And so he goes out first thing in the morning to where those who were not already hired, and he hires a group of workers, and he says, I'm going to pay you a day's wage. That's what a denarius is. I'm going to pay you a day's wage. So come and work for me. And so they did. But then this owner did something unusual. This owner went out in late morning at 9 a.m. and at lunch at noon and in the late afternoon at 3 p.m. And he called out these workers who were not yet hired and who had maybe missed their opportunity to go and work. And he says, come and work for me for the rest of the day, and I will pay you a fair wage, is what he says. And they said, sounds good. And they went to go work. But then the landowner did something else that was unusual. He went out at 5 p.m. And this is like daylight savings time, 5 p.m., where at 6 it's like dark and it's time for bed, right? And so he goes out at 5 p.m. and he goes to them. He says, were you not hired? And he says, why are you standing out here? And they said, because no one has hired us. In other words, these were the workers that no one else wanted to hire. And he says, come and work for me, and I'll pay you what's fair. And so at the end of the day, the landowner says, line them up, the last one hired to the first one hired. And he begins to pay them a full day's wage. But as he's doing this, those that were hired first thing in the morning, look at this. Did you catch this in the story? And they see what they're making, knowing that they came in late, even in the last hour of the day, and that they're getting a full day's wage. So they begin to think, we're probably going to make more. He's probably going to pay us more. And then he pays them the exact same amount. And they begin to grumble. And they said, you've made us equal with those who have just come to work. This is not fair. But it doesn't seem very fair, right? I mean, don't they have a little bit of a point? I mean, it doesn't seem fair. I mean, they had worked all day. They'd worked out in the sun. I mean, they basically said, we bore the burden of the entire day and being out in the hot sun. I mean, shouldn't we make a little bit extra? I think they have a little bit of a point. But here's the thing. When it was that first thing in the morning, and they were lined up for work, and these were people that didn't have a job, each day they would line up for work, and they would hope that they would get chosen, and that they would get to work that day, that they would get to provide for their families that day. And then they were picked. They were chosen. Come and work for me, and I will pay you a full day's wage. And they went. I can imagine that they're going out and working, and it's 7 o'clock, it's 8 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock. They see other workers come in, it's 10 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock. They're continuing to work. They're so happy that they get to work. For just a moment, for just those hours, maybe up until that moment in which they see everyone else is getting paid, they're excited about being able to work and being able to provide for their family. They are so excited until they see what everyone else is making. That's when they're not so excited about it anymore. That's when they begin to grumble. Or as Teddy Roosevelt observed, comparison is the thief of joy. Maybe you saw it this week that Instagram announced that it's going to begin testing, removing likes from Instagram accounts. This big social media player is going to begin to take away our ability to see how many likes posts have. Because when you post something on Instagram, you have the ability to click the heart, and it will tell you how many times that has been clicked. 50 times, 100 times, 500 times. They're going to take that away and hide that so that not each and every person can see all the likes that other people are getting. They're going to begin to test this out. They've been testing it in international markets, and now they're ready to test it here in the United States, where we have the most Instagram users. But the reason why Instagram is doing this is that they want to do their part to address some of our mental health disorders that we have that we're observing is increasing in our age of social media and our age of being able to look at other people's posts and compare how many likes a post has compared to our likes. How many people are liking this post and this post? And in particular, when we're you know, in our junior high or our high school or our college, and really it doesn't change much for us as adults, that as we post and we see other people that we know, that their posts have more likes than us, or maybe even how many posts our likes have. Because, of course, those who are most outspoken are what we call Instagram influencers. Maybe you've heard that term. Those who are able to post things, maybe their pictures of vacation spots or clothes, and they're actually able to influence what other people are able to do. Instagram is saying we want to do our part to address this issue of comparison. Because what they have noticed and what they've heard, what they've observed, is that Instagram is more and more about comparison than it is about connecting with other people and building community. It's more about comparison than us sharing our lives together. Because what they've noticed is that there's no win in comparison. I mean, if you think about this in my very true story of comparing myself to this other person and our artwork as high school students, that there's no win in comparison, because when we compare ourselves to another person, we're essentially saying, you know, is this person better than I am? Does this person have skills that I don't have? Because when that happens, when we find other people have things that we don't have, then we're no longer content with what we have. Much like the workers who agreed to a wage and now are no longer content with it. Or we compare ourselves to other people and we find that, you know what, actually, we are doing a little better than they are. We like how we're positioned better. We like our job. We like who our kids are growing to be. We like the schools that we're in. We're like everything that's going on. We're better than them. And that actually increases our own pride. Because there's really no win in comparison. Which makes me think, why is it that we compare ourselves with other people? So a couple of the reasons that I thought of are, one is that we compare ourselves with others because of lack of confidence. That we just assume that other people are doing better than we are, whatever we choose to compare ourselves in. And so we compare ourselves to them in a lot of ways just to prove what we already think is correct. We compare ourselves because of lack of confidence. Or maybe we compare ourselves because of competition. And maybe we tell ourselves that this is going to actually make us better. And so we compare ourselves for a time. But really, this keeps us from becoming who God created us to be. Or maybe we compare ourselves because we're searching. We're trying to determine who we are in the world. And we feel like the best way to do that is to compare ourselves to other people and to see how we measure up to those around us. But what happens is that comparison becomes a mirror. And we don't actually see the people around us. We only see our reflection in them and how we measure up. So how do we break free of that comparison trap? How is it you and I break free of this cycle of always comparing ourselves and seeing how we're doing and trying to find who we are compared to those around us? And even, not even those around us, but those that we can find online. Those stories that we hear. How do we break free from that? And that's what the vineyard worker shows us as Jesus tells us the story. In verse 15, when he's talking to these workers who are grumbling, he says, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money?" And then he says this, "Are you envious? Because I am generous." Now this word envious carries with it that idea of being angry, or it carries with it that idea of being jealous and even stingy. And that sounds a lot like comparison. But it's literally, could be translated that they have bad eyes. That when they're looking at other people, they're looking at them with a bad perspective. So for us to leave this comparison trap, we have to change how we see other people And the only way that we can do that is through generous kindness. That's the only thing that will change our perspective. You see, comparison is all about how I can live my best life. But generous kindness asks the question of how you and I can live our best life together. In fact, Proverbs 11:25 says this: a generous person will prosper. Those who refresh others will be refreshed themselves. See, when we're generously kind, we change the relationship. Not only are we looking at other people to see how we measure up or how they don't measure up to make ourselves feel better, but we change our relationship to other people to where we actually see them and we look and we say, how can I refresh this other person? How can I meet their deep need, their deep thirst? That's that picture there. How can I refresh them? And then that proverb says that in doing so, we will find that we will also be refreshed. Frank Blake, who was the CEO of Home Depot from 2007 to 2014, had this practice of writing thank you notes. So what he says is that for those 7 years, each and every Sunday, that he would write between 100 and 200 thank you notes to employees of Home Depot. And they actually even developed a system of this that in each Home Depot store, when they would see someone have an act of generosity or an act of kindness, an act of going above and beyond, that they began to look for each other doing these kind of acts. And then they would report them to their managers, to their supervisors, and their supervisors would then take the best stories and they would pass them up, and they would pass them up to the regional directors, and it would just keep going up and up and up until it would reach Frank. And each Sunday he would have all of these stories and he would choose to write between 100 and 200 thank you notes. Handwritten, that would go to employees of Home Depot. But because he had this philosophy, if I am kind, then they will show kindness to others. And then everyone is looking for acts of kindness all around them. And I even saw this week on my Nextdoor, which is another social media platform that many of you have. It was on Tuesday when we had the big freeze that came through. And it came up in this way. And of course, it had that headline, Kroger gas station incident. So of course, I had to read it, right? I'm like, what's going on here? But then this is what it said. This was the post. There was a gentleman today at the Kroger gas station at Custer and El Dorado, right by where I live. And I'd like to send a big thank you out to. The pumps were having some issues, I think, because they were pretty frozen in the cold weather. And he was there pumping his wife's gas for her and being the kind of neighborly type of person that he helped me out as well. And I sat in the car to stay warm and out of the 10-degree wind chill. And he told me to stay there. And he waited until my tank was full and finished my transaction, replaced my gas cap for me, and sent me on my way. That's the neighborly and gentlemanly type of kindness I don't see as often as I used to around here. So right there in McKinney, El Dorado and Custer. I don't see this much anymore. He seemed to be in his 60s. And if more parents would raise their children to behave like that in the world, would be a much better place. Random acts of kindness go a long way, and I appreciate his thoughtfulness and will pay it forward. And I love this. If you've read this far, which we all have, just something to think about. Do something nice for someone today. You never know what's going on in someone's life or how greatly a simple act of thoughtfulness may impact them. Right here in our own neighborhoods. And when I pulled this last night, it had 345 likes and 100 comments. Because to me, this is the kind of thing that we should all celebrate. This is living our best lives together. And you love this? This Proverbs 11:25, that a generous person will prosper. That those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That this person says that this guy pumped my gas when it was cold. And now I want to do something kind for somebody else. I want to pay it forward. And not only that, but I want to share with everybody else because I would love to see more of this. Amen? See, here's what I think. This is what I see Jesus telling to those disciples and telling us today. That for us to live our best life, there's so many things that we can chase after. There's so many pictures we think it might be. There's so many ways when we're looking to other people's, we're looking to our culture, we're looking on our social media, we're looking to those who are sitting around us and we're asking, how do I measure up? Am I doing great today? How am I doing? But instead we should look to say, how can I refresh those that I come in contact with? How can I meet their thirst in a thirsty culture? How can I be generously kind? Because I know they need it. And here's the thing. In this story where the master says, I can do whatever I want with my own money, you and I have received the grace and love of God. It's not anything that we earned. It was a gift to us. And we get to share that gift with other people. It's not even ours. But we get to enjoy it as we share it with others. So as you go about your day and as you go about your week, I invite you to look around all around you. And to look to those you come in contact with and say, hey, how can I be generously kind to this person? What do they need? And then just meet that need. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for this parable, this story that challenges our desire, our temptation, our practice of comparing ourselves to anyone that we might find, Lord God. And Lord, may we see today that that's not where life is found, that there's no win in comparison, and that that comparison will actually keep us from being generous and kind. But Lord, may you renew our eyes so that we may see those around us, that we may see ways to refresh those that we come in contact with, maybe through a random act of kindness, maybe a word that is spoken, all of it to share that gift of grace that you give to us each and every day before we could even ask for it, before we even knew that it was there. Lord, you were pouring out your grace to us. So may we share that with other people, that they would know that gift as well. And Lord, may that gift of grace change our hearts so that we would be generously kind as you have been generously kind to us, so that all people would know your love and grace. So Lord, in this moment, as we prepare to sing a song, as these words come upon our lips, may they also be in our heart, so we would know that you are the one who has come to rescue us, to love us, and that we can show that love to others. So God, we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.